Tonight, I'm going to do something a little bit different. We've been going through Proverbs, and we're going to have that theme, but we're not going to be in Proverbs. I'm going to do something a little bit different to try to be a little briefer than I normally am, which I may break something trying to do that, but I'm going to try my best to see if we can get out of here by a little after 8, where some of us can get home and get to bed before 3 o'clock rolls around early. Last time I checked. It's been a while since I've checked on that. But anyway, last week, I say we're not going to look at Proverbs, but if you want to, you know, just so inclined, if you sort of think back on what we talked about last week, wisdom is personified in the last part of Proverbs 1. And she's personified as a woman. In Hebrew, the word for wisdom is a feminine word. It is in Greek as well. Sophia is Greek term, which is feminine. And so it's very natural to personify wisdom as a woman. And she is crying out in the streets for somebody to listen to her. And in verse 24 and following, she says, basically, because you didn't listen to me when I called out to you, I stretched out my hands, you wouldn't come. Therefore, in verse 26, she says, I will also laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear comes. In other words, I'll make fun of you. You mock me when I offered wisdom to you. You don't want it. So now when your calamity comes, and it will come, I will mock you. And I asked the question last time. I've sort of been dwelling on that all week. Does that mean wisdom is cruel? Is she unkind? In other words, well, you treated me bad, I'm going to treat you bad. Or is there something about wisdom itself that by its very nature cannot be instant? And we talked about how we, or at least me, I'm hooked on instant everything these days. I have to wait more than 3 minutes, forget it. I want to, you know, microwave it and zap it and eat. I'm ready. And you start thinking about it, it throws a light on what wisdom actually is. That wisdom is not so much getting the right answer as it is a process. The difference would be, as we said, about the difference between simply owning a hammer and being a carpenter. In a sense, you could say, well, wisdom can hand you the hammer instantaneously, but wisdom can't hand you the ability to be a carpenter. That's the skill that comes from experience. Jeremy, you've been doing this a while, but I'm assuming you didn't just wake up one morning and, hey, I'm a carpenter, I can do it now. There may be an inclination, there may be a gift, a skill, you know, an inclination towards that, but still, even if that's the case, it has to be developed, right? You didn't get there overnight. It began to dawn on me that I thought back of what intrigued me about mathematics. I was in Algebra 2, and we were dealing with these polynomials, you know, trying to solve them and so forth. And anybody ever heard of a quadratic equation? Yeah, well, you plug in, you want to solve these like ax squared plus bx plus c. And you simply plug it into the formula, and out you can get the answer. You can get you can solve for x if you know a, b, and c. I remember in Algebra 2 seeing that formula and being intrigued by. Wonder how they got that. So I went through the whole process of how you would arrive at that formula, how you would solve for x with such a complicated equation. It was one of the most interesting exercises I ever did. Whereas everybody else in the class was just interested in knowing the formula, plug the numbers in, and it gives me the answer. In other words, they're interested in the answer. I was interested in the process that could get you to the answer. Does that make sense? And that's what got me on the path of studying mathematics, was the fascination with the process. How do you arrive at this formula? Anybody can plug the numbers into, if you memorize the formula, and you can plug the numbers in and get an answer. And most of the time, it began to dawn on me that most of the time when we're seeking wisdom, you know what we're really seeking? The answer. We're not seeking the process. We're not seeking the discipline and the experience and the long-term struggle. All we want is the answer. And it sort of reminds me in my math days back in school again, where so many in my class, if you had the answer in the back of the book, that was good enough for them. As long as they could put the right... It's sort of like the problem with if you're just training kids to take a test, all they're really interested in is the answer. But what you really ought to be teaching kids is how to arrive at the answer. Okay? In that light, turn over to James. And it just started my mind to wander and drift and thinking about this text right here. It's a very common one. You all know it, I'm sure. Chapter 1, verse 5. We read, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." If you lack wisdom, ask of God and he will give it. Now it goes on to say in verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But notice the offer is being made of wisdom. But begin to dawn on me that I'm thinking back in my life, most of the times that this verse has come to my mind and I go to God asking for wisdom, I'm not really wanting wisdom, I'm wanting the answer. All right? Are you resonating, or are you understanding where I'm going here? That most of the time we just want to know what, in other words, I want to know, I've got this problem that I'm facing and I need to know whether to choose this or that. Lord, tell me which way to go. That's not wisdom. That's the answer. That's what you're wanting. If you want wisdom, what you're asking God to give you is the ability to arrive at an answer. Ben Webster had loaned me a book on Proverbs, and the guy spends about half the book basically trying to tell you that wisdom is not mystical. I don't know why. He's on a kick. I don't know who he's directing this towards, but he keeps constantly, almost every passage he deals with, Doug Phillips is the author, is talking about, well, this is not something that you just stare into space and arrive at. In other words, we want to just empty our mind and arrive at the right conclusion. And what he's pointing out is, no, that's not how the book of Proverbs presents wisdom. That we get wisdom by attending to the Word of God. It's not mystical at all. It's not staring at your navel or staring at the stars. It is through attending to what God has given us in His Word. And again, back to this verse, when we're asking for wisdom, we want to know yes or no, but that's not wisdom, that's an answer. I'm asking for your feedback here. Yes, Eleanor? Or Paige, she goes by. She'll always be Eleanor to me, okay? Okay? Yeah? Okay? Good point. And to some degree, that's what's going on here, is that we're not just looking at facts. We're trying to arrive at the... we begin to see that wisdom starts looking like what we would call a worldview, that I look through a particular grid. And therefore, that allows me to come up with an answer because I understand the bigger picture. And 9 times out of 10, when we invoke James 1:5, we don't care about the bigger picture. Just give me the answer. Do you find yourself, yeah, Michael? That's right. Right. That this is not instantaneous. It's like back to the illustration with Jeremy, you wake up and you're a carpenter. That's just not the way things work, and it doesn't work that way in any field. You may wake up and have a hammer, somebody give you a hammer, but that didn't make you a carpenter. Tony? That's true. And of all things, you can't get instant, yeah. You begin to understand what works patience? Romans 5? Tribulation. works patience. In other words, you cannot instantly gain. It's like, give me patience, Lord. Hurry. Now. Give me patience right now. And the point is, no, patience by its very nature is something that requires time. It requires a space of time. It requires experience. It requires trials, temptations, struggles for it to be developed. Well, I'm saying the same thing, and I think that's an excellent example about patience. The same thing is true about wisdom. That it, this is not, and that's why wisdom, when the day comes that you need it, it's too late to get it. You say, I sure hope I'll have wisdom when I need it. No, you better be working on wisdom right now, because when you need it, it's too late to obtain it. It doesn't work that way. The very nature of wisdom, and that's why I keep going back to that Proverbs 1 thing, wisdom mocking the one who mocked it. And it's not retaliation, or it's not quid pro quo, you know, you did this to me, I'm doing this to you, I'm getting even with you. But it's just acknowledging the nature by which wisdom comes requires time, it requires space, it requires experience. And so it is not an instantaneous commodity. And God is offering in James 1:5 now to give you wisdom. He said he won't. He loves to give it. But you understand that most of us, we say, well, this just didn't work. I tried that. I asked God, and he didn't give me wisdom. He said he would. Well, what you were really asking for was an answer. Because if you want wisdom, what are you going to have to do? Think through that process with me. If you want wisdom, what's the necessary thing? It's like, It's like calculus. Now, I went to Rice with some geniuses, and there was one kid. I never saw him dressed. He sat around, sat in his bed in his underwear all day long, and then he'd go and ace the final. I mean, there were just some guys that were just absolute geniuses there. But most of us are not that. If you want to ace the calculus final, what do you got to do? You got to go to class. You got to study. You don't just show up at the final exam and ace it. Now, that's most of the time, that's what we're asking for. We want the wisdom. We want to ace the exam. We don't want to go to class, especially if it's 8 o'clock in the morning. We don't want to get up and go to class. We don't want to go through and study the book and stay up late. We don't want to go through the process by which you arrive at the right answer, and that's wisdom. At the end, if you do that, at the end of the course, you have become wise. Grasshopper, you have reached it. You now know you have a handle on the subject. And so even if you can ace the final exam, if you haven't done that, you have not been made wise. You may have stumbled on the right answer. You may have cheated and got the right answer somehow, but you don't know the stuff. You don't know the material. And what God is offering in here in James 1:5 is, I'm willing to be your instructor, but you're going to have to submit to my discipline. And you'll notice that that's part of the process here, is that this is what's going to happen. What Michael was talking about back in verse 2 and 3 is that these things, this comes at the end of a process. Not instantaneously. Well, that's all I got. Well, in Ecclesiastes, he's trying to make sense of the world. And what he's saying is, basically, the world simply doesn't make sense. If this world is all there is, life, what he calls life under the sun, if this level of existence is it, then it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make a lick of sense. All is vexation of spirit. This is just, it just dry, and the more you think about it, you'd be better off to be an ignoramus and never think about such things, because the more you think about this world, and again, if this world, what we see with our eyes, is it. And so I think that's the purpose of Ecclesiastes. But what wisdom is a worldview that looks at this world from another angle. looks at it from another perspective, from the perspective of heaven and spiritual things rather than physical things. Yeah, it's looking at it through Christ's lenses, Jesus' lenses. Yeah, that we're looking at the world through the perspective of Christ. That makes sense? Yep. Well, I would say that's one of the problems. And it's funny you bring that up. What Eleanor was saying, that a lot of times back in geometry, she couldn't understand it, but she could memorize it. What you're memorizing is the formulas. You're memorizing the theorems and so forth. And that illustrates precisely my point. To memorize the theorem does not give you the wisdom to really understand geometry. All you have is the wisdom to memorize the theorem. Right? At the end of the day, you don't know any more about geometry than you did at the beginning, but you know, you've memorized the theorem. Yeah, and part of that, I would say that memorization is part of that process, but if you stop there, you never really grasp the significance. And by the way, my experience, females had a hard time with geometry. I'm not going to say it again because they get me in trouble the second time. But anyway, my experience, because it seems to me that, and it's not universally so, but by and large, females had a problem visualizing spatial things in their mind. They're more verbal than guys are more likely. Yes, very much more detailed. But guys are much more likely to grasp the dimensions. You say it's a, it's 20 by 40. And a lot of women have no clue what you're talking about. Men naturally think in those terms. But what I'm saying is you can grasp the theorem, but you don't get the thing. You haven't learned, you haven't been made a wise geometrician, you know. Darren, something you said triggered another thought here. The idea of the perspective. Let me give an example to work on. Next time we're back in Proverbs, I guess I won't see you next week, be back when prayer night falls. But next time we're back in Proverbs, I want you to think about Proverbs 3, where you have parental advice to a child. You know part of it. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. You're familiar with the passage? Do you realize that's in a section where it's like a parent, a mother, giving instruction to a child? She goes on to say the next bit of wisdom is honor the Lord with all your substance, with the first fruit of all your increase. She goes on to say, be not wise in your own eyes. It seems like those are disconnected things, but it's like a mother impressing the child. Here is the principle that you need to ingest. It's a parent teaching the child the principle, not the answer. You get the picture? We can tell the child the answer. Don't do that. Do this. But that's not giving the child wisdom. You give the child wisdom when you impress the principle into the heart of the child. And so that's where we're going to be next time in Proverbs 3. And I think you'll see this in action when you look at sound parental advice to a child. That's what I'm going to call it. And there's about five things that wisdom says to her child. None of them have to do with anything specific. They're all general principles that wisdom is seeking to impress into the character of the child. And so the child can do right and not have the principle. You get it? Doesn't understand wisdom. All right. Let us, I said I wasn't going to talk, but I did anyway. Y'all think about that. Study Proverbs 3, first part. A parent teaching a child wisdom. It's interesting. And from the standpoint that we're talking about this tonight, far more than just having the right answer, being able to regurgitate the right answer. But wisdom is the whole process that I can, on my own, arrive at the right answer. All right, let's pray.